Good afternoon. Welcome to Daily Devotion, episode 187. It's great to be together. Wonderful to be able to open up God's Word for another 15 minutes and see what He has to say today. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 10 and thinking about the mission of the church, particularly of the 12 disciples as they go out, and what we can learn from them as they walk forward into this ministry that Christ's called them to. So we're going to be turning to Matthew 10, looking at verse 16 onwards. "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny you. I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. It's a tense word, a challenging word, and we pray that you would give us hearts to understand it and believe it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the last couple of days we've been thinking about the Lord's mission and Him sending out His workers into the field. We saw back in the end of chapter 9, Jesus praying for laborers and then appointing the 12. We then saw in the beginning stages of chapter 10 that Christ's mission was to be done Christ's way. And it was really modeled after his own ministry. The disciples were to go out and to follow him and to do the same types of ministry in the same way with the same message that Jesus carried forth. And we saw that the same is true for us. Here now, though, we see the disciples going forth into mission. Jesus is now sending them out, and he's preparing them so that they will not be surprised by what comes. Now, there have been many generations in the church which have suffered under persecution. If you would talk to the early church in the first 300 years, they would not have been surprised by this passage. They would not have expected anything less. For this was their common lot. their common experience was one of suffering and challenge. Maybe not always physical persecution, but there was always opposition. We live in a very different era, don't we? Well, we're quickly leaving that era, but we've lived in a unique era, an era of relative peace, an era where the church hasn't really been opposed, where the church and Christians have been blessed physically within the earth because of the fact that they're Christians. Up till very recently, if you said to your employer you were a Christian, it was a beneficial thing. They would look on you with favor because they knew that you would, or they assumed, you would be an honest person with integrity that they could trust. Well, that's all very soon changing. It's already beginning to change. Christians are now beginning to be despised. They are looked down upon. They're bigots. They're seen as the troublemakers of our land. And so there's a sense in which this message should ring not as a surprise to us, but it should be a great source of encouragement and a great source of challenge, a challenge to faithfulness. So Jesus sends out his disciples, and the first thing he tells them is that they are to expect warfare and opposition. Jesus says, I'm not sending you out in peace. He says, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. I'm sending you out into a war zone. You're going out as an innocent, helpless sheep into the midst of the lions and wolves, into the midst of those who want to consume you and destroy you. Jesus is seeking to really prepare his disciples for the reality of what is to come. He says that they're going to be dragged before synagogues and governors and kings and the Gentiles to bear witness. He says that brother will deliver brother over to death and father against his child. Parents will deliver their children to death and vice versa. Everyone will hate us, verse 22, for the sake of Jesus' name. Persecution will follow us from town to town, the disciples are told. And this might have been very, very alarming for them. And yet Jesus says, though they go forth in this way, they can be comforted and encouraged by the fact that the Spirit will be with them. They're not left alone. Though Jesus sends them out amongst wolves, he does not send them alone. He sends them with the Spirit. So he says, when they deliver you over, verse 19, do not be anxious about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You see, one of the comforts that the disciples had was the fact that though they go into warfare, they are fighting with weapons. Or I should say, someone else is fighting with weapons on their behalf. The Father's Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will be with them, fighting the battle, giving them the words, enabling them to do the mission they've been sent forth to do. And so they go out, not in their own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit. That's a great reminder for us, isn't it? As we think about everything that's going on with hate speech laws, with all of the different Western changes around gender and sexuality, the state of the church, everything else, we are not alone. Whether you're a preacher or whether you're just talking to people about Christ in your workplace, you are not alone. But you have the Spirit of the living God to help you. So how much more should we be bold? Should we not be bold, knowing that the Spirit of God will speak for us? We don't need to be anxious. What am I going to do? We have the Spirit of God. But not only do we have the Spirit of God, not only do we go into warfare expecting confrontation, but the disciples needed to know that their union with Christ was bound up in suffering. He says in verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household?" You see, the disciples went forth and they were about to be betrayed and misspoken of and mistreated. And what Jesus wanted them to know as they went out into the world, especially after his ascension, that it was a sign of their being a part of Christ. And so when opposition happens, they could know that it's happening not because they've failed or because they're pathetic or weak, but it's happening because they are united to Christ. What a glorious hope that is. When people are offended by you, when people hate the fact that you go to church and that you love Jesus, one thing you can remember is that it's a sign that you are one of Christ's. It's a sign that you are united to Christ. And yet, God, Jesus offers us this hope. He says, not only are you in union with suffering, yet we can go fearlessly because the Father will be with us. So in verse 26 onwards, he says, don't be afraid. When this suffering happens and it's a sign of our union with Christ, don't be afraid. Verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? Fear not, you are more valuable than any sparrow. For if anyone acknowledges me, I will acknowledge before my Father." It's a stunning picture, isn't it? Where we go forth, we receive opposition, and we boldly proclaim Christ. We maintain our gospel witness, and Jesus says, "I will confess you before the Father. You confessed me before men. The Father's protecting you. He cares about you more than all the sparrows. I will confess you publicly." And so we have this beautiful assurance. And yet he follows it up with this last section where he says he doesn't come to bring peace. He didn't come to bring peace, but he came to bring war. The disciples don't go to peace, but they will be handed over to death. Verse 34 onwards. "A person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." The Christian ministry involves sacrifice. The gospel requires sacrifice. Being a gospel carrier means giving up your life, losing your life so that you can find it. In other words, Jesus says to his disciples, your life is hid in Christ. Therefore, be prepared to give up your physical life because you're hid in Christ and you're safe and secure in him. There's no doubt as to what will happen to us, where we will end up, what will be the final outcome for the disciples. There's no doubt on any of that, because if we lose our life for his sake, we will find it, for it is bound up in Christ. And so you see these three aspects. You see the Holy Spirit speaking and working in us. We see the Father's care and protection and love, and we see the Son securing our redemption. You see, the triune God calls us into mission, sends us into mission, prepares us for mission, equips us for mission, gives us mission, protects us through mission, and takes us all the way home. We do very little. The triune God does it all. We go forth with the whole Godhead behind us and before us. And in us. Persecution is coming. It is inevitable in the West. The writing is written on the wall. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. Because the world always opposes the church. The true church of Christ is always in opposition. What shall we do when it comes? We shall do the same thing we do now. Proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he is able to save to the utmost anyone who comes to him. Are you afraid? Are you anxious? Are you worried? The Godhead is with you. Be not afraid. For Jesus comes and gives the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this great reminder of Christ, that you are with us, that you, the triune God, are with us every step of the way. Help us to trust you and help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for tuning in with me for another daily devotion. I will see you back here, same place, same time tomorrow for our last devotion of the week. Have a great night.